This half hour being brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Carrier Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, best in new inventory. Ford, tremendous. That's the direction I went. Great pre-owned inventory. They go over each vehicle with a fine-tooth comb. Thus, it gives you the Sunbury Motors guarantee. So important to the buying experience. Great service department that takes care of inspections, routine, difficult to handle it all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. And with that, we go to my lunch partner this week, which I'm happy to say we're going to make it work, Tony Knopp, my friend. So great to hear you.
We're finally here.
I know.
We've been talking. How long have you and I been talking about conference realignment and that this day was going to come? 5-7 years?
Oh, yeah. I would say 5 to 7 years. And now it is a reality.
It's a reality. And it's changing even more. We're still not done.
Far from it, because, I mean, now, there's so much happening. One of them, of course, is that the fact that the House settlement is moving forward because Judge Claudia Wilken in California gave the preliminary sign-off this week, and April 7th will be the day that it will become
done in California. Right. I mean, just the idea that they got that location for this it changes the outcome completely.
And that's, remember, she's the one that made the ruling on the O'Bannon case, too, which opened the door for what we're seeing. It's going to change a lot of things. For one thing, 105-man rosters for football, 15 for men's basketball, expanded for wrestling and others. But there's the payment part. Tony, how inventive are college programs going to have to be, especially at the Power 4 level, to come up with $22 million per year with a 4% escalator?
So, this is crazy. And we actually have some insight in this that nobody has heard, which we're sharing today. What some people may know about our business, we're with Ticket Manager. They think you manage tickets, and we do. We do a lot of that. Mm-hmm. Yep. But we also have over 100 universities as customers, and we do all the accreditation for them. So we do the universities, we do the bowl games, and the like. Just about every single university after this court case has to cut costs immediately. Immediately. Mm-hmm. We're getting phone calls like, hey, our budget is being ravaged by this. We don't have it. Right, a few do, but a lot don't. And so what this has led to is arbitrage opportunity. So when you read, I know you've read it, but for the listeners who maybe haven't, about the Super League proposal mm-hmm. that is out there,
yep.
this is a lot more real than people think it is. Yep. And what it comes down to dollars. So let me give a quick example and then talk about what I think is going to happen. I think private equity is going to get involved in college sports across the board. That's how they're going to. The short answer is that's how they're going to bridge the gap of the $22 million that they're going to have to pay into, and the fact that they are now getting involved with NIL suits. There's just all kinds of administrative process that's going to go along with essentially running a minor league team. But what's very unique about how they did this is look at the case of UCLA. You guys just pummeled them last week, right? They're a once proud football program. You and I remember them as being when they were number two in the country before Edgerrin James beat them in the Hurricane makeup game in 2000.
I think Josh.
1998.
Yep.
Right? Kay McNown, Freddie Mitchell, Danny mm-hmm. Farmer. For those who don't pay attention to West Coast sports, UCLA was a powerhouse. They are no longer a powerhouse. UCLA had to push the Big Ten move because they did a $100+ million deal with Under Armour. Under Armour hit hard times for a number of different reasons and decided they just weren't going to pay UCLA anymore. And UCLA had a $100 million a year deficit. And so traditions only last so long until you have to pay your bills. And what happened there was UCLA had to make a move. They had to get another signature with a different company, and then they had to find a way to financially make sense so they could pay for their Olympic sports, because their focus is Olympic sports, where they win a lot of medals. Sorry for babbling on that. But this drop in the bucket is causing tidal waves across college sports, the business side, which the fans who are listening now, you will see on the field.
Well, just so people know, Under Armour stock, by the way, is only $7.94 a share right now. Right, it's nowhere near what Adidas is or Nike. That's how tough it's been for them, and that's why the UCLA and Under Armour finally came to a settlement. But Ohio State this week took men's gymnastics. No more scholarships. Are going to make it a club sport. Is that the beginning?
Yes. Yes. The schools are going to have. They're going to need to make a decision on what kind of program they're going to be. Here's the eye-rolling part for those who've been listening for a long time that say, this dude always talks about the English Premier League, and I'm going to do it again right now.
Yeah, but they give us hints about where things are going. That's why we talk about it.
Exactly. So for those who haven't seen what the Super League proposal is for college sports, which is backed by private equity money, there's going to be a relegation system, which is exactly what we see in European soccer, and exactly what we see in the English Premier League. And in the English Premier League, what happened was teams needed to decide what kind of team they were going to be. That's what the universities are doing. So if you look at, like, Stanford, for example, Stanford has a decision to make, and they make the decision that we're going to cut our football stadium from 85,000 to 35,000. Right. Our focus is academics and Olympic sports now. We're still going to have a football team, but we're not going to get involved in the arms race. Cal is doing the same thing. Right, Cal sold out the game against Miami last weekend. It's the first sellout since 2013 for Cal football, which was a once proud program. Mm-hmm. So you're going to start to see schools that prioritize the sports side of the business, specifically football, men's basketball, the revenue generators. And for those listening, men's basketball generates roughly 20% of the revenue of men's football,
right,
if even that.
That's right.
And that's at the big basketball schools.
Right.
I mean, the budget that you see, the NIL numbers you see for big basketball schools are nowhere close to what's happening for football. For example, you know, Illinois has a massive NIL budget and collective for basketball, and it's only $3 million.
Right, right.
That's considered massive for basketball. Mm-hmm. So, yes, we're going to start to see schools say, our focus is going to be on the revenue-generating sports, and you're going to see other schools say, well, we're going to lean into the Olympic sports. We're going to lean into things like, you know, gymnastics and swimming and water polo and those sorts of things. And we're already seeing the schools splinter off. Where this is really fascinating are institutions like the ones in now our conference, where we share it together, where you have Wisconsin, Michigan, Penn State. You have schools who thrive in both.
Mm-hmm.
Ohio State gymnastics was never really that nationally competitive. It was, but it wasn't Iowa wrestling or Michigan swimming. Or, right, in Penn State, you know, wrestling, it's going to be really interesting to see how those universities kind of thread the needle on this.
Yeah, because I think this is the beginning of seeing a lot of sports go to club sports. The SEC model is that most schools have approximately 20 sports. Texas has 17, right? They have oil money beyond words. They have 17.
Yeah, they got real money down there.
Yeah, they pay in cash. But that's what people realize, how big these models are. Now, you and I do not want to see anybody lose scholarships. I mean, my goodness, I mean, you know, in your family, for goodness sakes, volleyball's a big deal. Right.
Big deal. Yeah. Me and both my sisters played. My older sister at USD, my younger at Michigan State.
Yeah. So it's a big deal. Now, women's volleyball, by the way, is not going to get
it. It's taken off. Yeah. It's not going anywhere.
It's not going anywhere.
Yeah. You know, that's a revenue generator now.
When you have all 364 Division I schools playing it, you're safe. There's no getting around it. But they have to make a lot of hard decisions. Now, I want to ask about the private equity part. Private equity on the surface sounds great because money is coming in. How careful do either a conference or an athletic department, how careful do they have to be, Tony, that private equity doesn't dictate, because obviously they're putting their money in and they're trying to put it in for a reason?
Yeah, it's the golden rule. He who has the gold makes the rules.
Yep.
Right? And what's terrifying about it is the power they can take. And the NCAA, not really that involved, leaving schools out there to be exposed when they don't have leverage. I'll use an example, a real-world example we just saw. UCLA doesn't have a lot of leverage when they're negotiating with private equity into how much power they want to maintain over their organization. The NFL, for the listeners who don't know this, the NFL just allowed private equity into, the wolf is now in the hen house, right? Private equity is now involved in the NFL. But if you read what Goodell and the owners did there, they have no voting rights. They can't buy more than 10% of the company. They're essentially just investors, right? Which is not normal for private equity. Most private equity, you think Gordon Gekko, you think Raiders of the Gate, you think, you know, people who are going to come in and make changes. The problem you don't want to run into is the old Ben Franklin, the old John Adams Ben Franklin quote, which is, you know, democracy is two wolves and a sheep voting on what they're going to have for dinner.
Right.
And if you're in a situation where you're UCLA, you're a school who's in trouble, you're Florida State, who is really down the line with private equity right now, and you're saying, I need private equity or I cannot continue to compete at the level that I'm currently at, you're going to be outnumbered two wolves to a sheep. And that's going to start dictating some of the things that you do within the organization.
Yeah, because I know there are some schools that can handle this, right? It'll take some work, but they handle it. I mean, Penn State, Ohio State, Michigan, I mean, they can handle it.
Penn State, Ohio State, yeah. North Carolina, you know, but those schools will all be fine.
But there are others.
Most of the SEC schools.
Yeah. But there are others that can't handle it, which you mentioned the SEC. The ACC.
Risk.
Oh, the ACC and the Big 12 both have problems, especially the ACC. I don't know where they're going to come up with the money. That's why I keep looking down the road at Pitt. And I'm not trying to knock Pitt in any way, shape, or form. I'm trying to realistically look at their situation. Okay? They can't make up for it with attendance, their TV contract, their radio contract. I mean, they're going to have to do something if they want to compete at $22 million, because they may only be able to offer $12 to $14 million.
You know, the unfortunate truth about it is, back to the Premier League, you know, if you talk to somebody in 1990, 1991, 1992, the powerhouse clubs in the Premier League were Arsenal, Liverpool, you know, the teams we know now, Everton, but Leeds, Nottingham Forest, they were winning championships. Mm-hmm. They were winning European titles. Leeds has been in the Premier League twice in the last 25 years. Yep. Nottingham Forest has been in the Premier League twice in the last 25 years. Neither of them have ever finished in the top 10 in the last, since 1990. And the unfortunate truth is, when you're looking at, you know, history doesn't repeat itself, but people do.
Yeah.
I don't know who said that, but I like that quote. That's what's going to happen here. It's going to repeat again because, you know, the most consistent analogy would be the English Premier League, where you had, before the Super League showed up, you had the FA, and the FA had 200 clubs, right, which was what college football is. You have, you know, a number of teams that can rise up and compete, and eventually, once economics got involved in it, now you generally have the same 5 to 7 teams competing every year, and every now and then you have somebody rise up from the ether, whether that's Aston Villa or Leicester City or whatever else.
Right.
And in college football, that has been happening. It's usually driven by donors. You know, Uncle Phil up in Oregon took our night spot this weekend. I'm upset about this. We should be playing you guys at night, but it's Ohio State and Oregon, so we get the 12:30 kick.
Yeah.
But that's what I'm afraid of. I'm afraid of looking at schools like Pitt, UCLA, Cal, schools that have a pretty deep history, right? Dan Marino's alumni, alma mater. They're just not going to be able to compete in the new world. They're just not.
Right.
They're going to get relegated, and they're going to end up being that second division. There's not a lot of ways around it.
There is an important meeting going on in Nashville later this week. I know Pat Kraft, Penn State's athletic director, is headed down to it. And for the most part, it's been Greg Sankey and Tony Petitti of the SEC and the Big Ten, respectively, talking and trying to lay some things out in terms of maybe a scheduling agreement with the SEC, but also with the idea they want to do the power play of 4 automatic bids for each conference in the college football playoff. If you were the other conferences, how do you view this meeting in Nashville between SEC athletic directors and Big Ten athletic directors?
What can you do? So, you know, same story. You have 6 super clubs in 1994, in 1991, that decide in 1994, we're going to form our own league. You want to come along? You can come along.
Yep.
And we're going to throw you some bones. But we're going to make more money than you do. So what people don't realize is those clubs, And those that finish in the top four make a lot more money than the rest of the league. There is no parity in the English Premier League. Arsenal makes more money than West Brom does, and always will.
Yep.
Regardless of how West Brom finishes. Unless West Brom finishes in first, Arsenal is going to make more money than them. The English Premier League then goes to the UEFA Championship and says, we need four automatic bids. We need an automatic bid for the Euros and a sixth bid if our champion wins. So there's a lot of complaints about, and I'm so sorry if I'm bothering, if I'm boring people, but if I get to the conclusion here, they'll understand in the real world how this is going to impact college football. You see Alabama, Georgia, and one of them loses in the SEC championship game and they're out last year, right? And you're saying maybe those are the two best teams. We don't really know.
That's right.
Well, this has already happened. This already happened in the English Premier League. And what they decided was you have four automatic bids, right? Top four finishers. But if another team wins the UEFA Champions League, they get another bid. So essentially, like, you win the CFP national title last year, you get the auto bid for this year into the playoffs. They've already worked through different things to make it so that we're ramming in our top four. And if our top four go into a non-conference slate with everybody or win a major tournament, we get a fifth spot too. And I just don't see how, I mean, this all comes down to the incompetence of the Pac-12, our favorite leader that made $5 million a year to run it completely into the ground, and then the ACC and Phillips and some of those guys that just didn't see this coming. And in the end, you have these institutions that are supposedly, you know, the top think tank business institutions in the world at Stanford and the like, who just got totally outmaneuvered by the SEC and the Big Ten.
But here's the other part, too. How can they do this? Why can they do this? It's very simple. Since 2016, there are 18 institutions that comprise 50% of the television ratings in the country. Eight of them are from the SEC, seven are from the Big Ten, two from the ACC plus Notre Dame. That's how you can dictate this. You have the power.
It's so absurd that we got there because the ACC does a 20-year deal with ESPN that they're locked into and now getting sued by Clemson and Florida State for. And the Pac-12 decides we want to be a tech company and build our own network.
Sure.
And here's where we end up. We end up exactly where you just said, where the vast majority of the viewership comes from. It's an 80-20 rule. And so, again, the golden rule. He who has the gold makes the rules. Right? The Big Ten and the SEC have the gold. They make the rules.
And they have the viewership to back up. See, and they've got the mega TV contracts, but they earn their mega TV contracts because they're the ones people are watching anyway.
Oh, it's the way the organizations have run within them. The fact that Wisconsin, you know, we're talking now about how, you know, non-revenue sports are becoming revenue sports, right? Women's volleyball, you and I remember when women's volleyball was a half-full gym, and now, you know, the head coach at Nebraska is making $700,000 a year. Right. We never would have seen that coming, right? But you know who did see it coming? Wisconsin.
Yeah.
They've been sold out for 10 years.
Yeah.
In every sport there is, they have the highest attendance of any university in the country. Every single sport they play is sold out. That's a well-run organization. And that's just not a reality in the ACC or Pac-12. And most of the Big 12, to be totally honest. Right? You're starting to see these conferences get lapped. And I think the only way out of it is if you see some private equity who looks at this and says, I think if we can implement some strategic business jujitsu, maybe we can get the Big 12 back to the level of the SEC and Big 10. But, you know, the question they have to answer there is it worth the money at that point? How much money is it going to take to get to that level? And it's just not realistic.
Well,
so, I mean, look, our alma mater's doing great.
Yeah.
Penn State and USC. Yeah. USC is in a lot more, the USC's not in the best spot. Penn State's in a lot better place than USC is. USC's got rich donors. They've got wealthy donors. They've got money. And the other benefit that USC has is we're kind of the only show in town.
Right.
On this side, on this coast, it's us in Oregon, and that's kind of it. Every now and then, Washington pops up. But if you're a football player in Southern California and Nevada, Arizona, you're probably coming to SC if we have a competent coach. But some of the other schools that are out there, you know, when you're Florida State, Tallahassee ain't that far from SEC country. I mean, you're right in the middle of it.
Right.
So now it's a lot harder for the kids to say, why don't I just go down the road to, you know, to Tuscaloosa or down the road to Gainesville or up the road to, you know, go to Georgia. It just comes down to opportunity. And it comes down to money and opportunity for these kids.
Can't wait to see you and break some bread.
Yeah. It's going to be a good time. I'm excited.
I heard you picked out a good spot, so I'm looking forward to it.
Some LA locals, and then you can when we come out there, we can go the other way. You can take me home.
Absolutely. In fact, I'm back at night. You may not be there Super Bowl weekend, but I'm actually there for 5 days in February. So,
out here,
basketball.
Basketball. Yeah, our new coach, Musselman.
Yeah,
our old coach went to SMU. Our old coach, exactly what we're talking about. SMU was buying their way into the prestige right now.
Oh, yeah.
They raised how much money last year? $148 million or something?
And they did most of it in 48 hours.
Isn't that ridiculous? They got real money down there, Steve.
Oh.
We don't play on that level.
Tony, Guatemala doesn't play on that level. All right? And they're a country.
I love it. They're just like, okay, we're in the ACC now. We're just going to outspend everybody. We're the Yankees now. Hey, you know what? More power to you. You got a campus of 7,000 students. And you raised $150 million in, like, a day.
TV deal? I don't need your TV money. We're good. Tony.
It's crazy.
Can't wait to see you, my friend.
All right, brother. We'll see you this week.
Sounds great. See you Friday. All right. Tony Knopp, the great man himself. This half hour brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.